the offering that is on this table, not so stable. So really dancers.
All right, morning everybody. Thursday morning here on 720 WGN. I'm Nick DiGilio, your overnight dude, from 2 to 5 a.m. That band that you hear is Kerosene Stars. And from Kerosene Stars, joining us live in studio is Scott Schaffsma.
That's right.
I got it.
You got it.
I got it. I always get, you know, when you throw a couple of vowels together that are the same, I immediately get a little confused. I'm easily confused anyway. How are you, man?
Understandable. I'm great. Thank you.
Okay. Before we get into everything, you got a gig coming up a week from tonight at the Empty Bottle, Thursday the 21st.
Yes, sir.
Which is a great room.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about what we just heard, because as you told me off the air, this is exclusive.
It is.
Nobody even has this stuff yet. This is brand new material, and I'm playing it for the first time.
This song, yeah, we just heard, is coming up on the next EP, which comes out in April-ish.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
And that was a song called Eleanor?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Is that about anybody in particular that you know?
That song is actually loosely based on like a Civil War aspect of a soldier who is... I guess not going to make it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's what that one's about.
All right, cool. Well, now, you were telling me off the air that you are originally from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I am, yes.
Yeah, what's that? What was that like growing up in Grand Rapids?
Oh, Grand Rapids is a nice town. It's bigger than most people think, and it's actually growing quite a bit. And music scene is actually growing, even though when I came up through it, it was still pretty decent then, too. But it's a lot of beer. They've got a lot of breweries up there now. And
yeah, when I dated a girl, I was telling you off the air that I dated a girl that lived in Grand Haven.
Yeah, that's
and,
yeah.
We went up there, you know, a few times to hang out. It was weird because I dated her for a while, but never in the summer. So I never went to Grand Haven in the summer. Every time I went up there, it was cold or it was winter. It was still cool.
Grand Haven's great in the summer.
That's what I imagined, having been there in the winter.
Yeah,
but we went
to
Grand Rapids a couple of times while we were up there.
Absolutely.
We went to a place called Mulligan's.
Yep.
And I had Mulligan's stew.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There used to be a live music venue right next to it.
Yeah.
That actually moved. It's called The Intersection, and it's now downtown. But
you know what? I think I went there, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I went there, too.
Did you go to Yesterdog?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Yesterdog is the one. That's it. That's the number one place to go.
Yes, I did. Yeah, Mulligan's was an interesting place. Is that still there?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like a legendary place up there, isn't it?
That is the bar to go to in that area of town.
Yeah. That was
Easttown.
Easttown, yeah. Yep. That was like when my girlfriend at the time, she's like, oh, we got to go to Mulligan's. And I'm like, oh, all right, whatever.
Yeah, it's the hangout.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I like the fact that you have to hold up the mitten.
You do.
Point to where
you're from. I'm from. Boom.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah. So it's weird. I dated a lot of women from Michigan. Don't know how that happened.
But
what brought you to Chicago?
Music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to school in Kalamazoo and got my degree in music. And I had a band at the time, which we kind of split between Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids. And when the time came for us to record a full-length record, we chose to do it with a guy from Grand Haven who had moved to Chicago. So we did a studio up at, not Wrigleyville, it's up in Lakeview.
Okay.
We did our record there, and then we liked coming here so much, we just decided to stay.
Yeah.
So, that particular band is, of course, no more, but,
are the members, ex-members of the band still working in Chicago?
Still around the area. I think they're all still in the city, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool. So, was there any other city that you had in mind after you were done at KZU? Was there any other city?
My personal choice would be to keep moving westward, but you know, it's been almost 20 years for me now, and I have not moved westward yet.
Yeah.
So I don't think.
And
I'm
if this kind of weather doesn't encourage you to move westward, then no, you're stuck here, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you're from Michigan. What the hell, you know.
Yeah, you know, one thing I liked about the first few years here is that the snow is less. There's less snow on average.
Yeah.
But the last few years have been brutally cold and full of snow. So
yeah.
It's like I'm not really getting what I needed from it.
I just, you know, when I was dating this one girl in particular, in the winter, that's a fun drive. Boy, when you whip around Indiana there, man, I remember whiteout conditions driving up there and driving back. I don't know. We're going to die.
Oh, yes, definitely.
We're going to die.
Many nights I've spent driving through the highways in Michigan at high speeds with no visibility.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you said that you've been working in music for a long time.
Yes.
We'll get into, you know, like your beginnings and all that stuff and your influences and stuff. But did you've toured around a lot in the Midwest or everywhere?
A bit, yeah. A couple East Coast tours. I played pretty much all the major cities in the Midwest for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really gone past the Rockies, but yeah.
How many bands have you been in? Have you lost count?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Lost count. It's at least 20, probably more, of records that are people that actually have records. So.
Mm. And now, have there been consistent people that show up in your bands? Like, you work with these people in one band, then you guys break up or you don't work together, and then like four bands down the line, hey, I'm working with this person again. Does that do some of the same cast of characters pop up in and
generally
out?
Speaking, yes, not always, but you know, it's hit or miss, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the music scene, you were talking about the music scene in Grand Rapids. How would you describe it when you were there? You said you were there in the 90s, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of shows in Michigan, and God, almost weekly shows in Grand Rapids and all through the 90s. And, you know, it was, there wasn't as many opportunities to play. There wasn't as many clubs. There was really only two, maybe three. And now it's looking like, I think there's at least five, and they're all pretty nice. And I'm actually reconnecting with the area and the musicians up there. And like Founders Brewery in particular,
mm-hmm.
has an amazing room. And a huge brewery that's like it's a wonderland for beer.
Yeah.
And a huge stage to play on. And like, there's always people milling around. And I'm actually working with them right now on getting a second release show together for the spring. And I'm working with some Grand Rapids bands that we're going to have in the bill.
Very cool.
Cool. There's just a lot of opportunities. Not just that, there's another place called the Pyramid Scheme, which I don't know if you're familiar with Grand Rapids and the connection it has with Amway.
Yes, of course.
The Pyramid Scheme.
Yes.
So they named their club that.
That's
which
pretty
I
cool.
Think is fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, hang out, okay, for a second. Mm-hmm. There, Scott's with us, and the band is called Kerosene Stars. We'll talk more about music, and we're actually going to hear some full songs from the EP Burn the Evidence, which they are celebrating and playing a week from tonight at the Empty Bottle. We got a break for the news, and then more after this on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to the show. We do have the Hawks are playing tonight. They're playing the Habs, and the pregame is at 6 o'clock. Puck drop is at 6:30. The Canadians, we have a Know Your Enemy coming up after 3 o'clock. Judd Surratt puts together a Know Your Enemy so we know the team that we will be facing, and that'll be coming up a little bit later on. But right now, live in studio is Scott Schaffsma. Now I'm getting your first name wrong.
No.
All right, Scott from the Kerosene Stars is here. They're playing the Empty Bottle a week from tonight, and we were just discussing some stuff off the air about Michigan and
the
music scene and all that cool stuff. I was just promoting the fact that there's a Hawks. We play the Hawks games here.
Okay.
Are you a Red Wings fan?
I am neither.
Okay. All right, well, that's fine. Good. Cause,
I'm neutral.
The Red Wings fans would have been a barrier up between us for the rest of the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, so you came to Chicago. Now, let's go back to your youth. When did you start writing songs? When did you get, actually, first, when did you start getting into music, playing instruments and stuff?
I was about 10 or 11 years old. I started with a trombone. And I did
Was this a school thing?
And I did that for all the way to college, first couple years of college. And I decided before that, like around age 14, that I was going to be a bassist. So I started self-teaching myself that. And eventually I started taking some lessons from a kid that was older than me that was in the same school. And I slowly transitioned to being strictly a bassist by the time I reached about 18 or 19.
What was it that drew you to the bass? Because a lot of people who end up playing the bass.
I know, because they didn't, you know, they couldn't play guitar or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, no disrespect. The bass is,
I agree, the bass is a very important instrument, a great instrument.
I play drums, and without bass players, I would just be an idiot.
No, I'm not taking any offense. I consider myself to be a bassist, and I fake the guitar, basically. And, you know, I'm decent at it. I know how to do it. I've even taught it, but I don't.
What drew you to the bass?
Like a real guitar player. Well, I don't remember exactly. I just knew that I needed, you know, the rhythm. I think it had to do with my father telling me I couldn't play drums, even though I needed something to do rhythm with, so I guess I chose bass based on that.
Were there any bass player heroes of yours? Were there certain bass players?
At the time, no. It was just this four-string instrument that was going to be my substitute for drums. And, and eventually, once I started getting into it after, like, the first year, of course, Chili Peppers popped, and it was like Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Right.
So then I tried to learn that record from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And I got decent at it.
Yeah. Flea's a good place to start.
It's not exactly, I'm not going to tell you I learned every note, but I got, pretty good for 15.
I think that's cool. I got to tell you, man, I think that's cool that you actively chose the bass. Yeah, I really do, because it's, because there are a lot of amazing bass players out there, and it is sort of the unsung instrument of a rock band.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's cool that you focused on that. And Now, let me ask you that. You got brothers and sisters, and...
I have one sister.
Older or younger?
Younger.
She's younger. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now, did you ever, you grew up listening to me? What kind of stuff was in the house when you were growing up, music-wise?
My father had a lot of, I guess you could say, Eagles stuff, like classic rock, and then a lot of country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what you kind of grew up listening to?
Stuff that I kind of grew up resenting after a while, because I listened to too much of it, especially on the commercial country edge of things. I just can't stomach that.
Yeah.
But the older stuff, definitely, I can appreciate.
Yeah. So that's what you grew up with.
Yeah.
Did you influence your sister at all in music? Did you say, hey, give this a shot?
Completely different relations, yeah.
Yeah. Now, is there anybody else? Does your sister play an instrument, or anybody? No.
Nope.
No, that's it.
Nobody. Well, my father plays guitar and bass a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm the only one that really just took it and did stuff with it.
Okay, so you focused on the bass. You knew that's what you wanted to do. When did songwriting come into it and singing?
Well, the songwriting actually came in before. I was probably, as early as I can remember, probably around like 10 years old, I would start sort of obsessing about certain melodies that I may have heard and start trying to modify them.
Hmm.
And probably around the age of 12, I started writing lyrics or poems. And that just grew throughout high school until I got to a point where I was able to start putting chords with it one way or another. So, I studied music in college, so, I had to learn a bit of piano. So I'm starting to put chords together with that, with melodies. I'm on the bass. You can write. It's harder to write sometimes, but I often come up with interesting takes that I wouldn't have come up with if I was playing with a guitar or piano.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, my primary writing instrument these days is actually a guitar, which is just always available and always in front of me. And,
right.
So what was the question again?
No, you answered it, because I asked you when songwriting kind of came into it. Did you always want to sing as well? Did that?
I didn't think of myself as a singer, and I, my first band that I was telling you about earlier that moved here, the first real band that actually had a few records, and, I was sharing the vocals with another person. So it was sort of a halftime thing, but, aside from that, once that band broke up, I went for almost an entire decade, actually over a decade, without ever really singing at all. And no, I didn't think of myself as a vocalist, even though I was still writing. So a lot of the songs that are on this record and the previous ones are lyrics that I may have written in the 90s that I am now pulling from to create new songs today.
Hmm.
And I still have notebooks upon notebooks that I can go through for reference to kind of add to the things that I'm writing now, and hopefully constructing pop songs that people will know and appreciate.
Yeah. Let's give a shout out to the guys who are in your band who couldn't join us tonight. The band is called Kerosene Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this thing is podcast, man.
Oh, good.
There are people who are listening to this right now at like 2 in the afternoon.
I didn't mean,
I'm saying 2 in the afternoon. Okay. Like, there are people right now who, because we have a we have our podcast numbers are real good.
Excellent.
So we have a lot of people who listen via podcast.
Excellent.
So give a shout out to those guys who are in your
definitely.
Band.
Andy Seagram is our guitar player. Excellent.
I noticed that he is also a producer on the record with you.
Yeah, he and I have been writing ever since he joined the band a few years ago. He and I have been he's been helping me a great deal in writing and getting these songs together so that they're
What is it about this relationship you have with him?
He's also a songwriter and a singer, so he kind of knows the trade, and we're able to like bounce ideas off each other and actually do some. He's also an editor for his like day job, so like he does a really good job of like helping me edit things into a pop centric like style that
shorter can, format, tighter
yeah,
format,
like 2-3 minutes. I mean, I pretty much do that anyway, but if there's something missing, he throws it in there. So he's definitely been helping with the writing.
So that's Andy Seagram.
Yeah,
okay.
Andy Seagram. Tom Sorich is our percussionist. Our drummer is Jim Adair. We have Yusu Kim, who is our viola player and keyboard player. And we have recently added someone who was in a band, the band previous, who was a bassist for me, because I started out as guitar for this band, Brett Bakshus, who is going to be playing acoustic guitar on the next few shows as he's available. So we're up to 6 people. Did I mention everyone? I think I did.
I think you did.
Yeah. So it's the band's growing. Usually I'm having trouble keeping members in the band, and now it's like growing. People keep coming.
Are there all the guys that are in the band currently? Are they all were they all local musicians from here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All Chicago.
Yep.
All Chicago guys.
Well, no. I'm sorry. Jim and Andy are both originally from Michigan, Detroit area, but they have been here for various amounts of times. Like Jim was in Austin for a while, and Andy was in LA for a while. They all came back to the Midwest and settled in Chicago, and somehow I found them.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And you guys, and I read that you have played kind of virtually every room in the city. You've played everywhere here.
I haven't had the privilege of playing like the Riv or Park West, but I played Metro, Double Door several times, and all the smaller clubs that come underneath that. Pretty much, I can't think of something off the top.
Have you played Lincoln Hall?
Yeah.
Isn't that place, I mean.
I love it.
That place is unbelievable. Yeah, they did that right, man. I mean, well, beautiful. That's the guys who run Shubas, so they know what they're doing. But that room acoustically, God.
I mean, I love that room.
It's one of the best. But you guys are playing a terrific Empty Bottle rules.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Empty Bottle is great, and that's where you guys are playing Thursday night. Mm-hmm. The show is 21 and over. It's a 9 o'clock start. It's only $5 to get in. KerosenStars.com is the website, but we have a link on our Facebook page to make it easy. So you can just like us at Facebook.com/NickDShow, and the link is there. Okay, let's listen to a song off of Burn the Evidence.
Cool.
And you'll be playing this a week from tonight at the Empty Bottle. Tell me about what we're going to hear.
This song is called Talk Talk, and this tune was something I wrote at the last minute before we started tracking in May. It's the most upbeat song that we have, and it's sort of a power pop tribute thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The song is called Talk Talk by Kerosene Stars. Here we go.
It's all my fault. Everybody's got a problem.
Nice, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice. 3 minutes, you're in, you're out. Yep. Nice, beautiful pop.
That's the goal, yeah.
Really cool
Every
stuff.
Every song is supposed to be that way.
Yeah, that's kind of that's kind of right in my wheelhouse. It's the kind of stuff I,
cool.
You know, I've spent, 5 days in a row just jumping up and down and screaming and yelling because Cheap Trick got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right, yeah.
That's my kind of stuff right there. So, all right, let's take a quick break, okay?
All right.
And Scott's with us from the band Kerosene Stars, and we're going to hear another song and talk more. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your influences and what bands you love and all that cool
Sounds
stuff.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. It's Nick DiGilio. Kerosene Stars will be playing a week from tonight, Thursday the 21st, at Empty Bottle. The show's at 9 o'clock, $5 to get in, and we have a link on our Facebook page for all the information. We'll be right back. Whether or not you stay, or whether or not you go, I'm falling apart from Greece. I'm falling apart. Oh no, it's simply a plan. You call on the phone, you see that I'm home, but I'm not alone. It's simply a shame that you didn't see. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio. 7th floor of the Trib Tower, and here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. Coming up in a little bit, after we play a Know Your Enemy, so you get to know the Montreal Canadiens, who are the enemy tonight against the Hawks. We're going to jump into the Academy Awards. The Oscar nominations will be announced in a matter of hours, and so I'll make my predictions. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Razzies. We'll talk about past Oscar snubs. And we'll open up the phone lines for your thoughts on all that stuff at 312-981-7200. But what you just heard is from the band Kerosene Stars. And Scott Schaffsma is with us. Welcome back, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, we were just discussing off the air that that you live in Hyde Park, and you've lived there for a while.
Yeah, over 10 years.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. But we were talking about how you lived in different areas, which happens to everybody who comes from someplace else to Chicago and spends a significant amount of time here. Everybody I know who is from another place has normally lived in five, six, seven neighborhoods in the city.
Yeah, and I did the most amount of moving within a year or two period of time.
So
it's like I just kept moving from place to place to place.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, especially in the winter.
Yeah, it's a blast. Well, so obviously you have a pop sensibility.
Thank you.
What draws you to that type of music?
You know, I really don't know. It's just sort of inside me. I mean, I've studied classical music. I've studied jazz. I enjoy playing in orchestras, but I don't enjoy it as much as creating a hook.
Sure.
And being like the center of attention and that, like creating that earworm for people.
Right.
And myself.
What are your main influences? Can you name some of your main influences from the stuff of the stuff that you write?
It's so all over the map, but I'm with this particular record, even I was going for a vein of like Elvis Costello in the Attractions era 70s stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like this year's model. I've always been a fan of the band The Stone Roses. A lot of British influence. Everything from the Beatles to, like, you know, more obscure stuff. Supergrass, I don't know.
Supergrass is a great band.
Supergrass.
Great band.
Just like these, you know, I don't know. I'm always drawn to, like, this English thing, too. And I'm not... I don't know why. I guess I'm 50% Irish and English, but that doesn't really.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, I can understand that. I can say, did you listen to Big Star a lot when you were younger? Or?
You know, I did not, but I've actually, since I moved to Chicago, I played almost all of the Alex Chilton shows at Empty Bottle.
Yeah.
I started at Shuba's back in when I did it. And, I only recently stopped doing it because it's just an inconvenient birthday date. December 28th is always cold, and it's hard to get people out. So, but it's a lot of fun, and I love doing the tribute. And I've learned so many Alex Chilton songs from doing that.
One of my heroes.
Yeah.
And I very quickly, I want to tell this story. I was in New York with a play, and we took it to the Fringe Festival in New York, and we were there for over 3 weeks, and we were just trying to figure out something to do. We had a day off where there was no performance of the play.
Yeah.
I wasn't in it, but I had directed it, and I was there, you know. And we were looking through the Village Voice, and we were trying to figure out something to do. And then, this was in '99, so the Twin Towers were still there, and they had these lunchtime, like sort of business lunch concerts between the two towers.
Great.
Once a week, one weekday. This was a Friday afternoon, and we were looking through the paper, and we were like, "Oh, let's go to one of those concerts." And we were looking to see what it was, and it was Alex Chilton.
Nice.
And so we just lucked out. And we the play that we were doing was an adaptation that I did of High Fidelity.
Okay.
And so we were all music geeks.
Yeah.
And we went, and we were like, Alex Chilton, oh, my God. So one of my favorite memories ever, New York memories ever, or any memory ever, was seeing Alex Chilton between the two towers on a beautiful, like, cloudless Friday afternoon.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
It was amazing. That it was amazing.
So cool.
Yeah. Okay, first album you ever bought?
The Cult.
Which one?
The Sanctuary. What was it
She
called?
Said Love.
Yeah, Love.
Okay. All right. And first out, first concert.
Ministry.
Oh, man.
In Grand Rapids.
In Grand Road. Nice. Very nice. Not here, but in Grand Rapids.
In Grand Rapids.
Okay.
I was 16. And,
okay, cool.
The first real concert, and it was with KMFDM.
Wow.
And they were so loud that within the first 2 seconds of them starting, KMFDM opened. The guy, the singer, had this standing drum thing that he used, like, at the microphone. Within 2 hits, all the power went out.
That's great, man.
And then so there was darkness, and there was people like, what the hell's going on? And then they came back. Mm-hmm. I proceeded to do the entire show, including Ministry, with the chain link fence.
Sure.
And the people, like, crawling on it and the insanity. Yeah. That's where my tinnitus started.
Yes. Are you blaming Al Jorgensen?
At 16. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Al.
All right. Well, we're going to hear one more song, and this is Burn the Evidence.
Yes,
it's the title track from the EP. We'll listen to it right here on WGN.
Burn the evidence. That's just what makes sense when you're a followed you to Spain for reasons that were vague and overblown. Didn't want you to know. I asked for the man who tells me twice and I make changes in your life. I recognize but can't explain the reasons I do not engage. Burn evidence. That's just what makes sense when you're around. If I held you to France, a sea of broken glasses that remain, and I want you to see the red lit streets of Amsterdam, the perfect place, the perfect plan. Change your name, forget your
Great stuff, man.
Thanks so much.
Scott, thanks for coming down, man. The band is called Kerosene Stars, a week from tonight at Empty Bottle on the 21st. $5 to get in. Thanks, man. It was really, really fun talking to you.
Oh, it was great meeting you.
Okay,
thank
cool.
You.
We'll take a break. We got the news coming up next.